Tereo Ererangi o Te Mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
It's now time for Activate, a show brought to you by Amnesty International.
Tēnā koutou, nō mai, haere mai, kia ora, and welcome to the August edition of Activate, brought to you by Plains Media. Ko Catherine Butchard aho. Well, spring is on our doorstep, and when it finally arrives, it's going to get a big welcome from me. Roll on the blossom, I say. Also getting a warm welcome is our great guest this morning, Lisa Woods, Movement Building and Advocacy Director at Amnesty International Aotearoa. And for regular listeners, you will have heard her on the show before. She has an excellent depth of knowledge and she has really inspiring ideas about transformational change. So, what are we transforming this month, my loyal listeners? I feel like I need a drum roll actually here because this is a big topic. Social media. That's right. Lisa is here to tell us about a new Amnesty campaign highlighting online harm, particularly the risks our young people encounter online and what you can do about it. I feel like I can hear you nodding along with me already, so I'm on to a good start. So sit back, lean into listening, and be prepared to take action. Great. Well, welcome to the show again, Lisa. Where are you zooming in from?
I am coming in from Porirua today.
Porirua, nice. Yeah, I think you're my first guest zooming in from Porirua.
It's the wonderful city of Porirua. Love it here.
Exciting. Good one. So just to give a bit of background here, the Education and Workforce Committee, that's a parliamentary committee, has opened an inquiry into the harm young New Zealanders encounter online and the roles that the government, business and society should play in addressing those harms. That was actually an ACT Party call, and that was on the back of the National Party's proposal to ban social media use for under-16s. The scope of this inquiry includes online bullying, mental health impacts, exposure to harmful content and more. And although submissions have closed now, Amnesty Aotearoa is still urging us to let our voices be heard on this issue. You will soon be launching an online harm campaign. So I wanted to ask you, basically, tell us more.
So we're working with others across community, calling on government to enact basic regulations to help make social media platforms safer by design. And just as you said, government is actively considering at this moment this issue of online harm. So it's really important that people out there get in touch with their local MP, get in touch with the Minister Stanford, who we understand is considering this issue, to say that you want action on this issue. But what is a really critical part of this campaign is that what we're really trying to do is target the causes of the harm. And a fundamental part of the problem is we're seeing online platforms being designed to promote high engagement content, but regardless of the harm. And this is driven by a business model, basically, where harmful content drives engagement and therefore revenue. But what is key is it doesn't have to be this way, which is why we're calling on decision makers to take action and develop legislation that targets these root causes.
Mm. What I love about your campaign as well is this switch. So there's been a lot about parental regulation, parental oversight, and young people learning tactics themselves. But this is where we switch the burden to the big tech companies. The burden and obligation is on them. And we start from that starting point, which I really liked. We'll come back to some of that. What I wanted to know is, okay, some people will think, curious. Amnesty International is human rights organisation, prisoners of conscience. Now they're starting this online harm campaign. How does that relate to human rights work? Tell us.
Yeah, look, the threat and abuse online is such is that it can have a silencing effect on people, or even worse, where violence can spill over into the real world. So in this regard, when you're thinking about what are the human rights implications from this and why would Amnesty be involved, well, it's because it impacts a number of human rights, and including freedom of expression. And I personally have heard from so many people, activists, people who want to take part in social change, which is a really positive thing, but are having to step back because of the impact of the online harm and attack that they're facing is such that they just don't feel safe to do so. So there are really serious human rights implications here, but with Amnesty, there's a broader need here. So one of the key reasons we're focused on this issue is because we have a broader strategic focus on strengthening community and civil society, because we know that these things are really critical when it comes to achieving positive change and resisting oppression. And this is really important at a time when we're seeing creeping spread of authoritarian practices across the world. We're seeing laws and policies erode human rights. And of course, we're not immune from this here in Aotearoa. So in a world where there are such enormous crises, it can be daunting, but there's a power in all of us, right? And a power in community coming together, where so many major shifts in human rights has taken place. Mm-hmm. And I have this quote here, if I can find it, that our Secretary General said, and it really, to me, really sums up why that investing in civil society is really important. And she says, at this historical juncture, when authoritarian laws and practices are multiplying the world over in the interests of very few, governments and civil society must work with urgency to lead humanity back to safer ground. So what this is really emphasising is the importance of civil society. However, online harm is a major threat to the power of community and civil society, because essentially what it risks doing is people having to remove themselves from that aspect of public life. So we need change urgently before it diminishes civil society anymore.
Mm. So what I'm sort of hearing from you, it's almost like we've got a battleground of ideas going on in the world, and social media is at the forefront of that. So we need to take a step back and really work out, is it being a positive change, or is there some divisiveness that we really need to unpack? I wanted to ask you, basically just to give us some examples of the harm. So I know a lot of our listeners will be across the bullying ideas, the violence, misogynistic platforms that seem to be growing. Is there any other examples that you can give us to give us sort of a broader idea?
Yeah, absolutely. And just before I do, I'll just take a little bit of a step back to talk a little bit more about the algorithms and the business model, just so it gives a bit of meaning to the examples.
Okay.
So what we've talked about this idea that algorithms and the business model is a really core part of the problem, and it's because operating as a harmful content basically is driving engagement and therefore revenue. And you can look at this in the sense that because people are more likely to click on sensationalist material, you get the search engines, recommendation engines of platforms sending people down then what we might all often talk about, this rabbit hole of toxic content. And I'm sure lots of people have talked about the rabbit holes before that you might have been down. And of course, sensationalism in mass media is not new. Right. But the thing in social media is it goes well beyond the idea of if it bleeds, it leads, because it is systematically or can systematically privilege extreme content, including conspiracy theories, misogyny, racism, to keep people on platforms as long as possible. And then the effect of that is horrific. And so I'll give you some real world examples of what the impact is. So, and one of the reports I really encourage people to read is the Amnesty report called The Social Atrocity, Meta and the Right to Remedy for the Rohingya. It is mm-hmm. a really disturbing read about the impact our online platforms can have when it comes to extreme violence. And basically the research showed how in the months and years leading up to the horrific violence that took place against the Rohingya as part of a campaign of ethnic cleansing, how basically Facebook's algorithms were basically intensifying hatred against people, which then really contributed to the real world violence and the horrific violence that occurred. We've seen a study into the spread of anti-refugee sentiment on Facebook, and it found that anti-refugee hate crimes increase disproportionately in areas with higher Facebook usage during periods of high anti-refugee sentiment online. So these are not examples of small harm, right? These are massive, massive examples of extreme harm, disturbing harm that is happening as a result. And a different example to give, but again shows how these algorithms play, is going back to an individual focus. And in the 2023 Amnesty report on TikTok, it highlighted just how easy it can be to be exposed to harmful content. So in this investigation, accounts were used to simulate 13-year-olds online who had signalled an interest in mental health. But in doing so, the recommended videos in a single hour, only a single hour, that came through romanticised, normalised or encouraged suicide. You know, so these are, again, hugely disturbing examples of what we're seeing.
Yeah, and great big world example there. And I do encourage people to read that report. I'll put it in the show notes. I like that then you also brought it back to something that some of our listeners, and if they're parents, might be able to relate to, because there could be that tendency to think, oh, that's just harm that happens over the other side of the world. That's not relevant to New Zealanders. So thank you for the TikTok example. I also saw actually in the submissions, there was a submission made by Public Health Association of New Zealand, and they had a good submission about advertising, which again we think of as innocuous almost. And they said that they referenced a study where youth were exposed to about 7 gambling ads and 4.5 alcohol ads each day. And basically that there's a risk of normalising that sort of behaviour. So there's all sorts of different harms going on here. And I like that you've talked about the algorithms. And one thing I've been thinking about is that we're so soaked in and embedded into social media and the online world now, that is there perhaps a danger of people thinking that the horse is bolted, that it's like we have no control over this anymore, it is what it is. But if you take a step back, this is still a very new type of technology. And yes, we have algorithms, but the big tech companies change those algorithms every day for commercial purposes. It's another example, would you agree, of big alcohol, big tobacco, big gambling, that we can actually change the model. We just need to get a groundswell to do that. I suppose my concern is that this is a embedded business model. How would regulation work in practice?
Yeah, well, the first thing I'd say is actually what we're proposing is not novel, in the sense that actually there have been overseas countries that are doing this. So, sure. For example, Australia, the United Kingdom, the European Union. So these are all countries who have developed legislation that are putting the pressure on tech companies to change. And you know, what's great now is we have the benefit of learning about what is working or what is not learning, and adapting that to our context. So when we're thinking about the details of the type of change that we need, some components that we think are really important is that you've got transparency about the algorithms and how the recommendations are working, transparency about how the complaints system is working. But really critically, there's a duty of care on companies to be doing due diligence around what are the risks and how are you mitigating them. And a third component, which is also incredibly important, is there is independent oversight. And this agency has the ability to impose penalties if there's non-compliance. So, for example, you could have a system where these companies are producing reports for this independent agency to review to see if they are complying and doing adequate due diligence and putting proper mitigation factors in place and so forth. So that's an example of how it could work in practice. But, you know, the more country, you know, countries have already started doing this, and the more countries that participation do this, the more pressure that gets put on the tech companies to ultimately change.
So let's talk about other countries then. So the UK has done something about this. I think I read there's something in the European Union. So if we get down to the detail, does that mean that a young person's social media feed could look different in the UK to here at this moment?
I mean, the one thing about these pieces of legislation that I say is a lot of them are still relatively new. So we're still learning about how what the implementation looks like and what are the lessons from them. But, you know, if we continue to fall behind and these acts continue to be rolled out overseas and no doubt over time strengthened as they learn about what works and what doesn't, the risk is absolutely that you get people here being exposed to harm that potentially others aren't. Or if as a country we continue to be unregulated when all other lots of other countries are, the risk here is that you get the tech companies coming here to trial things or to do things because there's not as many safeguards in place.
Sure. So, yeah, you are really focusing down on let's switch the burden. Where is the harm coming from? That's the big tech companies. Regulation is throughout our whole lives now. It doesn't need to be something that's novel or strange. It's not. What I want to talk about then is how there is this idea through the national government, we're seeing it coming into Australia, about regulation, but it's in terms of a ban on under 16's use. So that's not your model, because your model is let's put the burden on the companies.
Yes.
That's not what's happening in Australia, for example. When I first read this, I thought, oh no, I've got a tween. And is this an example of the saying of perfection getting in the way of the good? But I have come around to your campaign. Basically, it's banning social media won't reduce harms, but regulation might. Is that the upshot?
That's it. Basically, the concern we have about banning social media for young people is that it's not addressing the root causes of the harm. So essentially, it's just delaying until someone is exposed to that harm. And it's not at all dealing with those harms that we were in the examples we were talking about earlier. So to us, that's why it's really important that if we want to see change for everyone, and that's important because this harm is across society. So many different people have been harmed by it. We need to be enacting legislation that addresses. If we don't do that, the harm is just sitting there until people come online.
That's right. I mean, look, on your 16th birthday, you're not all of a sudden able to cope with the exposure that you that person would face. Also, I do like this idea that actually if we take a step back, is it just a distraction? Is it just something that tech companies could well even get behind because then it distracts us away from the fact that, no, the source of the harm is these companies, it's the algorithms, it's the divisiveness that they actually know about. There's a book that a lot of my listeners may have read already, and I just wanted to touch base on it, Stolen Focus by Johan Hari. And in there he talks about, you know, Facebook has had their own internal investigation, and this was following the idea that Facebook influenced one of the Trump elections, Brexit, and they even had their own scientists on it. And their own scientists found that, yes, it was true that their model grows divisiveness, and they concluded that their recommendation is that their systems grow the problem. With the algorithms as well, I think we suffer from this idea that it's just this big kind of robot, but people are behind the algorithms, right?
Yeah, that's right. Look, the thing about this as well is we really understand that this isn't about saying social media, we shouldn't have social media, or that it's all bad, because we know that there are enormous positives that are coming from social media. And that was one of the concerns we also had about banning social media for young people, that for some young people, social media has been a really important way that they've found support when they couldn't in other places. But the issue here is that, you know, we've had the emergence of the internet that came in online platforms that have come with this tremendous potential. But without proper guardrails, what we've seen is the creation of these toxic online spaces. But the important message is it doesn't have to be this way, because that has been by design, which means we can design it differently, which is about what this campaign is about. And it's also important to note that this campaign obviously isn't the be-all and end-all. There are other important changes we need in terms of around data rights and the protection of your data and things like that. But this would be a monumentally big and important step to creating that vision where social media can be a positive force in all of our lives.
Safe by design.
That's right.
Let's finish up then by really targeting how people who, I get the impression there's probably a good groundswell of people that would be behind this already. I don't know if you have any sense of that.
Yeah, well, when we were, a couple of years ago, when we were doing our new strategy, we went out and had a chat with lots of people in community about where do you think we need to be working, where can we add value, and online harm came back overwhelmingly the key issue for us to be taking action on. But what people said time and time again is just what we were talking about, is they wanted to see action that addressed the root causes of harm. And just recently, as we've been developing the campaign, a number of us have been talking with lots of different people and organisations. And again, overwhelmingly, people want to see the type of legislation that we talked about that puts the burden on tech companies, that where they've got a duty of care, where they've got transparency requirements, where there's an independent agency, that type of structure that we're already seeing in places like Australia and the EU and so forth, that came through so strongly. So I do think that there already is a groundswell of support for something like this. We just now really need government to listen and to really take action, but the right action that's really going to address the root causes.
So when does your campaign launch?
So we're hoping to have the campaign off the ground in the next couple of weeks. So watch this space, but there will be information on the Amnesty website. So I invite you in a couple of weeks to click on our website and we'll have updates there, and really encourage people to get involved. Yeah, this is an issue that the government is actively considering. So there is a window of opportunity here to get some really good legislative change that would make a difference in all of our lives. So look, taking 1 minute, 5 minutes to drop an email to me can be hugely impactful.
Excellent. And I love how you have talked about that social media isn't all bad at all. We don't want to demonise our young people for using it. There's some marvellous aspects to it. We just need, as you say, safe by design.
That's right.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Take action. Use your freedom. I've got three action points for you this month. The first one, August 2025, marks the eight-year disappearance anniversary of Gao Zhujing. That's Amnesty International Ototahi's adopted prisoner of conscience. And every year they send signatures, a petition to authorities in China, and they collect them, send them, and a big lot will be going at the end of the year. So I will link the petition in the show notes. Basically, I have talked about Gao Zhujing previously, but in brief, he is a well-known Chinese lawyer who took on pro bono social justice cases. He and his family experienced severe hardship purely because of this work. He was abducted by authorities again in 2017. That was for the fourth time. And his whereabouts and well-being are currently unknown. So Amnesty International has asked for petitions online or in person, and they will send them to the Chinese government. They are asking for an update. Basically, please tell his family if he is alive and how he is. So please do that. And second point, the Gaza ceasefire protest, 1 p.m. Bridge of Remembrance. Please head along, look for the Amnesty banner. And thirdly, I just want to draw your attention to a petition on the Amnesty website, and you'll see that under the Take Action tag. I can also put a link to that. And the header is Make the Community Sponsorship of Refugees Program Permanent in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And this is when we had this great program and it's temporarily come to an end, bringing refugees into New Zealand and joining them up with community in different parts of the country. And there is a concern that the program won't continue due to funding. So there is an active campaign on that. And please take a look and sign the petition. That's the end of our show. Thank you very much for listening once again. I'm sure that you found Lisa Wood's online harm campaign really inspiring, switching the burden, putting the burden on companies. She did talk about the fact that banning social media for under 16s is really a bit blunt. It's misdiagnosing the problem, and it really takes attention away from the systemic drivers of online harm, and that's with the companies. So please look out for that campaign. I will be promoting it heavily in the coming months. Okay, please tune in again. Mā te wā.
I want you to get